So let's move along to the discussion on log recovery from state-owned bottoms, and we'll return to the Etheridge's pier application shortly. Yes, Woodward.
This is just to give you really an update on the process and procedure for permits issued for log recovery from state bottomland. Back in 2011, we received an inquiry about the proposal to recover some logs in the Nansman River, or Nottoway River, excuse me, and what might be required to get a permit to do that. I would say prior to that time, there had been some casual inquiries over the years about logs submerged on state bottoms and what might be required to get permits, but no one really followed through on any serious proposals. But in 2011, we had an applicant who was quite serious about it and followed through actually with an application at the time. And so what we did, given the unique nature of the project, is came to the commission in September and later in October with an outline of what we thought the permit process would be for the operation and how we would go through that and what the royalties would be for the recovery of the logs from state submerged lands. We viewed the logs as a state resource, and as a result, the state should receive some compensation for a private individual to recover those logs. And generally, these logs are thought to have been logs that were harvested, floated in the river to get to the mills, much like you see in this photograph here, but lost in the process, sank to the bottom, and were lost over the years. And some of these logs have been in the water for decades or longer, or many decades, maybe 100 years or more. So what we had is we came to the commission, and this was the basic outline of what we proposed in October of 2011. We would get our regular joint permit application submitted. And I should say the joint permit application, we've heard some talk about that this morning, is really a joint application that's filed by one individual, by an applicant, with our agency, and it's distributed to the other regulatory agencies that deal with it. That's the joint nature of it, so that one application has to be filed for the various regulatory agencies that have overlapping jurisdiction between local and federal and state, so they can look at the same application. We are the clearinghouse for that here at VMRC. We assign the number and then distribute it to everyone so they can process it concurrently under their laws and regulations. But anyway, excuse me, just like we do with other projects, we do a newspaper notice advertising the project where the recovery might be occurring. We would plan to issue a one-year permit. We would stipulate that no logs should be removed that are buried in the sediments because of disturbance that might cause. We would stipulate that the logs should be removed at a private boat ramp. However, I'm going to talk about a subsequent application we received where they got permission to use a local county ramp. There should be no storing of logs in the waterway. You know where they're removed from. Once you pull it up, want to remove it, take it out of the waterway, just don't leave it there stored as a hazard. The permit processing fee would be $100, and that we would utilize a mill volume ticket and the International Quarter-Inch Log Rule to calculate the board feed in the log, and then we would assess our royalty based on the stumpage value that would be attributed to that log. And the stumpage value is essentially the rate that a private property owner might get paid for the log that's standing in their forest, and a private forester or a harvester comes in and wants to harvest that log, they would get the stumpage value for that log. So we were looking at it in that manner. And the commission endorsed this process back in 2011. We issued the permit in early 2012 for this project. And in 2012, you can see they recovered 11 logs with a royalty payment of $285. In 2013, they recovered 26 logs with a royalty payment of $842. When they recover the logs, they submit a report to us, and not all these logs were recovered at one time. They went out on various trips and might do two or three or five or whatever. And anyway, when they recover the logs, they report to us, they provide the species of the log, the location, a photo of the log, and then the estimated 4 feet for the stumpage value is provided by a timber consultant that works for the permittee. And here are some photos of what was submitted with the reports, just showing what we have here. When I finish the initial part of this discussion, I'm going to turn it over to Justin Worrell, who's worked with the applicant in this situation, to show you some more detailed photographs and some of the operation of the log recovery. But in any event, when we get our report, we get photos, and you can see some of these logs are fairly good size, and they range from cypress to pine to oak, I believe is what we've seen so far come out of this river. And, of course, the value depends on the species to some extent. And these are somewhat very valuable logs. It's old-growth timber in some instances, felled by axe in some instances years and years ago. And as the logs stay in the water, they absorb certain minerals, and they get a certain color. And so when they're milled, they're very unique, and they're very high-end sort of furniture or woodwork pieces that might be in a home. So they could have considerable value. One thing we realized as we issued this permit with the the volume ticket requirement for the mill was that these logs were being brought out of the water and they weren't being sold right away. Either the market wasn't right or there wasn't a buyer. And so the applicant proposed that we use, and we consulted with them, a timber consultant who is certified that could come in, look at the log, determine the size, the species, the size of the log, and the board feet that might be in the log, and then determine the stumpage value. And so we amended the permit when they renewed it to reflect that process for getting the royalty payment. So what we would do is we would get their report, and it would tell us how much board feet was in the particular log. Then we would send them a letter indicating what the royalty would be. And what we do is we run that information through the Department of Forestry for their concurrence that the information that's provided with regard to the stumpage value and the calculation is correct. And then we send them a letter confirming that the royalty is due for a certain amount based on that report. And so that's the change we've made, and we think that's better because we get that done within reports filed within about 15 days of the log recovery, and then we can turn around the letter fairly quickly, and we get our royalty payments as a result of that, rather than the log setting in a field or in a pond on the property waiting to be sold at a mill, and that could be quite some time, and it would be then more difficult, we think, to track what happens with the logs as after they're recovered. So that was a brief change, or the change that occurred with that particular permit for the assessment of the royalty. With that, I want to give Justin an opportunity to walk you through the permit and what was authorized and the limitations that were placed on the permit and sort of what is done in the river and some of the logs we've seen come out in this particular for this particular operation.
Thank you, Attorney. Good morning, members of the Commission. My name is Justin Worrell. I primarily cover projects and issues in Virginia Beach. Back in 2011, fortunately or unfortunately, I was covering Southampton County as well when the inquiry was made and then the subsequent application for removing timber logs. If you're familiar with this area, it's much different than the tidal projects we normally see or you all normally see. It's not that far away. It's usually, you know, about an hour west of here in the general location of Franklin, Virginia. It was more famously known as the hub of operations for Union Camp, Union Bag Camp, and then International Paper. But it is in Southampton County, three non-tidal rivers that eventually feed the Chowan River Basin, Nottoway, Blackwater, and Meharon. We're specifically talking about the Nottoway River right here. along State Highway 671, General Thomas Highway, just outside of Franklin. It's known as the Franklin area there. This gentleman, the applicant, Mr. Widmire, actually talked to us for about 6 months or so before we even started the application process and permit process. He was very cooperative. Different folks have called over the past couple of years. Some have expressed some frustration with the requirement of permitting in these instances. Mr. Widmire never expressed such frustration. He's worked with us, constantly in contact with us, in coordination with our agency and the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries. So we eventually, as Tony described, we brought the process to the commission and set up a pilot permit process for one-year permits. Had different conditions. One such condition is that this doesn't occur. A lot of times when we issue permits, we have a requirement that you notify us when you're actually going to do the work, but we don't actually ask that you give us the specific dates when you're in the water doing certain things. For this particular activity, we did ask that that be made available to us and the game department. So they are required, any permittee is required to give us 48 hours notice that they're going to be in a particular spot in the river working to try and remove these logs. So that's what happens here, and we have a pretty good relationship with Mr. Widmire. He gives us a call, gives us an email, lets us know what's happening. I've been out with him on three such occasions. The very first occasion was a joint dive visit with the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries. And then I've been out the past two summers with him, and I've tried to take some pictures and try to show you all. I don't know how well that's showing up. Looks like a bit of a glare, but that's a log that's been removed, that's been pulled. Basically, it's a modified pontoon boat that he works from. It's nothing fancy. Actually, it's been sort of taken apart to allow better access on and off the boat. They just use hand winches and nylon straps. They go down and they try and locate a log. And it should be known that Mr. Widmire and his partner, they live in this area. They live about 5 minutes away from the river. They know folks. They know the river. They dive. They're certified scuba divers, so they know the river. They know where they want to dive. They know where logs are. So when the application was made, they gave us some general locations and identifications for coordinates. They initially asked to basically dive and recover the whole stretch of the Nottoway River from about the Cortland area down to the North Carolina border. After discussion and consultation with Game Department, we shortened that area up to a two-mile stretch. And then last year we extended it by 1 mile. So he has a 3 mile stretch of river to work right now. So we go out, like I said, I went out with him a couple of times. They dive, they locate the log, they attach it, and it comes up fairly quickly. Once you sort of pop it free, it comes up. It doesn't serve any purpose, it serve their purpose at all to try and remove anything that is submerged in sediment or trapped by other logs or debris. And it's strictly forbidden in the permit as well. So by any means, if you have any questions, I'll go through a few pictures. I took a bunch of pictures just because it's a unique activity, unique area. Like I said, this is non-tidal. This is dark water. Visibility is very poor. It's very rural in the area. A lot of swampland around it, heavily forested. So it's different than what we normally see from a tidal perspective. Mr. Widmire has private access points, two private access points on this river. They are basically at the end points of these farming areas. We did require that both landowners provide us with signed approval that he could access and utilize these points. The most he could attach to his pontoon were two logs on each side. And this is just an example of two logs they'd pulled up. And we'll be taking them back to the offloading point. It's just an example of it. He has sort of a modified apparatus here. I don't know if I'd call it necessarily a boat trailer, but it's a modified trailer that he will pull and attach his logs to them. I don't think he can get more than two at a time. Depends on the size of the log. This is just showing, and calling it as a ramp is a bit of a stretch, but this site along the river, it's a hard bottom, and it, like I said, it's the back of this farming field. No one would know it was there unless you went searching for it. He does have the permission of this property owner, and he notifies him as well when he's going back there. And this is offloading some of the logs at Mr. Widmeyer's private property. He was storing them. At one time, he was storing the initial logs in a private pond, a small pond no bigger than this room. And the thought process was that we're pulling them out of the water. We don't want them to dry out and deteriorate to a point where it diminishes their value, so we're going to put them back in the water. He kept some there for a while. He has actually, as Tony mentioned, I don't think the market, or at least the market locally, was what he thought it was going to be in terms of having readily available buyers. So he's moved around a bit, had two or three different buyers, and so he started actually keeping some of these logs in this open field and then transporting them to the most recent buyer, who was requesting larger inventory. One of the largest logs they removed, a very large cypress. Kathy, can you hit the lights for me, please? You might be able to see some of these a little bit better. It's unique looking at some of the logs coming out, the colors, the variations of the different logs. Mr. Widmeyer, in accordance with his timber consultant, has recovered pine logs, a few oaks, and cypress logs. This was one of the largest cypress logs they removed. The local paper in Franklin, the Tidewater News, called it Logzilla. And as much as Mr. Widmeyer's been excited about this process, unfortunately, he doesn't like the attention he's been receiving, because I think undoubtedly he'll end up with some competition. Some of the logs, and my shot shows a little bit better, axe cut end here. A better shot here of an axe cut log. I think that's an old oak log. But as Tony mentioned, there is some perceived value in this, and ironically enough, we've been receiving more calls recently. I just got a call yesterday from a gentleman in Isle of Wight County who wants to do something similar in the Nottoway or the Blackwater. Like we've mentioned, this was a pilot permit process. We started it for a year. We've renewed Mr. Widmeyer's permit twice. We modified the payment schedule a little bit, basically to allow us to receive the royalty payment and basically step back and step out of the process or the selling process for the permittee. We've worked well with the Game Department and Department of Forestry. They get back in touch with us very quickly. When we receive the reports, Mr. Widmeyer has abided by everything we've asked him to do. I hope in the future, if we have applicants and permittees, they go as smoothly. And we did actually just permit one in tidal waters that Tony's going to speak of right now. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer those or address those.
Justin?
Yes?
I have a quick question. Do you have any idea how long those logs may have been in the water there?
I think the estimates, based on some of the information and research Mr. Widmeyer has provided, I think the estimates are at least 100 years. You got to keep in mind, and some of this is based on knowledge of just living in Suffolk. I was born and raised in Holland, which is very close to Franklin. Various members of my family worked for Union Camp. They were there for a long time, mid-1900s. And they were floating logs up and down the river. I don't think these logs came from that time period. I could be wrong. One thing I've been a little surprised about, and I think Mr. Widmeyer has been as well, is that he was hoping for better quality pine logs. He was looking for the longleaf pine that the sort of the northern limits of longleaf did grow in the southeastern Virginia area. And I don't think he has found that. But the oak and the cypress are of good quality, and I think just the simple fact that probably close to half of his logs are axe cut. And I think it's very unique. I think it points to a specific time and era that's probably 100 years back or more.
Thank you. Kathy, can you get the lights, please?
Just real quickly, I want to mention that we have issued one other recovery permit, following the same protocol and basic procedures. It happens to be on the Chickahominy. So This is at the mouth of Morris Creek, and Morris Creek, the north of Morris Creek is the Chickahominy Wildlife Management Area that's managed by the Game Department. But it's tidal, and so circumstances are a bit different here in terms of the resource issues to be considered, and we consulted with VIMS on this particular recovery proposal, and it included three distinct spots up Morris Creek here, sort of at the mouth of Morris Creek here, and in the Chickahominy proper adjacent to the wildlife management area along this area. VIMS did express some concern about removal of woody debris habitat for fishery resources, and so we looked into that issue quite a bit, asked the applicant for information on what they might have in terms of, you know, what were the logs like there, what did they think they had, and they provided us with an actual side scan sonar. This might not be real clear, but what you can see in the Morris Creek location is the actual logs laying on the bottom. These don't appear to be just tree fall where you have lots of branches and limbs that provide sort of a lot of the habitat of the woody debris that's in the waterway. It's just these logs that were cut, lost, and came to rest here in this location. This permit has been issued to two individuals together, and I think they feel that this, where there was some logging activity, storage occurring in these areas over the years, and these were logs that were lost, and they want to attempt to recover them. Down at the Chickahominy River, again, you can see the logs based on the side scan sonar. And because of the concern about the effect it might have on the woody debris and the habitat that these logs might provide, one special condition we put in this particular permit was to provide side scan imagery after the recovery operation so we could take a look at that and get a sense of what might be changing as they recover these logs that are laying on the bottom. Again, the permit excluded recovery of buried logs, and in this case, when they do recover the log, they can go to a county ramp over on the James City County side. They've given them permission to use that ramp to bring the logs ashore, but I don't think the operation with this permit would be a whole lot different than the operation that Justin showed you, and the amount of work and the logs that can be recovered each trip is relatively minimal. These aren't industrial size operations by any means. Again, 1 year permit, the royalty calculations would be handled the same, and after a year, if they still want to operate, we could extend the permit, but that would be the extent of it at this point. So with that as an overview, I would offer that the process seems to be working real well. The second applicant did a lot of work with us, was real cooperative. Juliet Giordano handled that for us. Unfortunately, her last day with us was yesterday. Her husband took a job up in D.C., and so she is moving, and as a result, she resigned her position. But she did a lot of work with them to get information and sort out the permit details. The permit's been issued. No work's been done at this site yet, but we will be actually planning to go with them the first time they go out and observe the side scan imagery prior to the work being done so that we have a sense of what's occurring at this location. So the process seems to be working well. We think the tweak on how we calculate or get the royalty payment, I wouldn't say. We didn't change how we calculate it or the amount that would be paid. It's just the process to get it. Was slightly changed. So with that, we think the process is working well. We would suggest that we just continue to work with potential applicants utilizing this process. And I don't think we would need to come back to the commission in the future unless we run into a problem or we have an applicant that wants something different than we might be suggesting in line with what the commission has endorsed back in 2011 and seen today.
Terrific. Thank you very much. Any questions from the commission? Habitat is a very diverse operation.